Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday show. We open every show, every day of the week, every time of the week, paying homage to the one and only true God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ and Father God. Open with the iconic, dear Lord, played by the iconic John Coltrane. Bow your head. Take your hats off. Get on your knees. It's time to pay homage. It's time to say thank you. It's time to pray to the one and only true God. Dear Lord, thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. More importantly, Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Yeah, that your way be our way, Lord. More importantly, just come and pray and heart. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We ask you this time to bless our beloved Lady A and her dad, as her dad just had a triple bypass heart operation. We also send prayers out to Tim Smith, who lost his grandmother, and we pray for them. All our family here in the USA, all our family in Brazil, all our family all over the world, and also our number one listener, Rosie. And we just want to say to the Lord, simply thank you. Guide us, strengthen us, and lead us for you, the one who made us, not ourselves. And we ask these blessings, all our blessings, in the name of our Lord and Savior, the one and only, your darling son, Jesus. Holy name, we simply say, dear Lord, amen. Amen. Doc Stanley, sponsoring the Blog Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network. Louis Collazo, WBA International Welterweight Champion, should be joining us. We dedicate this show to him, to happy birthday to him, that he just celebrated a birthday, and a host of other birthdays, Vanel. And we'll talk Louis boxing real quick, looking for Louis to join us. Hoping he does so. If not, then we'll have a sort of show. We ask you that you put in prayer Lady A, as her father has just had a triple bypass heart operation. Our beloved Tim Smith, boxing writer extraordinaire, lost his grandmother. At the time, we also say happy birthday to the champ, Louis Collazo. And once again, the month of May, month of April, was some tremendous birthdays. My nephew, Damian Lewis. I remember the day that boy was born. He's grown to a fine young man. And we got the crew here. Boopster is here. This senior, H.R. Brown X, is here. Double Bauer, Howard Western Jr. We'll be getting pretty soon a live broadcast live from Yankee Stadium as Mr. NFL 411 is playing Mr. Baseball tonight, Nate B. Berger. We say happy birthday to our beloved Nate Berger today, who has a birthday. And with that, let's get ready to bring the posse on in and talk about a host of things. And first of all, let's just say happy birthday once again to the champ this past Tuesday. Louis Collazo celebrated his 33rd birthday, early part of this month. My nephew Damien celebrated a birthday also on the 15th of this month. My niece Sabine down in Florida, she celebrated another birthday. Today's your birthday. Also, Vanel, one of the great people in the not in the car industry, but in the entertainment industry. He celebrated on the 25th. William Shakespeare had a birthday on the 23rd. Nate, be thankful. This is to you, baby. Be as happy. Be as birthday. As me carrying Murray the Key is A with the Dr. Jimmy, 12th at Blog Talk Radio on the Touch and Guard Network. And now it's time to get there, get ready, and bring in the crew. I simply say, beyond their intellect, beyond their to me, they're very simple. Besides being brilliant and audacious, and they're beautiful people. And so, without further ado, let me get ready to bring the crew into you, Doc Stanley, Sports Net Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. And with that, as I say, to me, they are, of all things, magnificent. Here they come riding up, baby. Double bow, how the Cisco Kid. Double A Threat Brother, Hoopster, Jumpstart Jonesy. The Senegal 411. Ladies and gentlemen, the crew. Sports and Death. An in-depth look at sports from a perspective not only today and yesterday. And with that of my posse, Sports and Death. Quickly, definitely charge into the world and death. Ladies and gentlemen, Sports and Death. Live Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network. And the crew is coming, and we're looking for the champ to join us. But we know we've got the Hoopster here. We've got this.
How you doing, Doc? Good evening, everybody.
Okay. And we got some numbers here in line. So, champ, are you here? Louis Collado, are you in line, online with us yet?
Okay, Sebring just checked in from Yankee Stadium, Section 238.
Good evening, panel.
Good evening,
listeners. Yeah. And what's the latest from the stadium? What do we have?
Well, we got the right-hander Tanaka, who's 3-0 in his professional career, Major League Baseball, right-handed thrower. He's going up against the Los Angeles Angels, a power-hitting team. So he's gonna, you know, gonna have some challenges tonight. You know, Albert Pujols, you know, different hitters like that. Garrett Richard, also undefeated for the Angels, right-handed pitcher also is going to be pitching for the Angels tonight. So that game should be underway in about 25, 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, and we want to take the time out to salute Albert Pujols, one of only 26 men ever to reach the 500 plateau. We want to take a hat off to him. Take a hat off to him, Pujols. I remember there was a panel they had about 6-7 years ago, and they had a list of players who they saw possible future Hall of Famers, and I was stunned that the highest popular vote was given to Ivan LaGuardia over Pujols. Pujols has had the first 6-7 years unparalleled in the history of the game. He's been one of the great sluggers in history of the game. He was definitely first ballot Hall of Famer. 500 home runs, no question, makes him a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think if I'm correct, Albert Pujols is the first Hispanic player to ever hit 5 home runs in the history of Major League Baseball. The first African American to ever hit 5 home runs in history of baseball was none other than incomparable Willie Howard Mays. But Pujols, it was something that the great
Doc,
and
Doc,
he
Doc, correct, done. Correct yeah. me if I'm wrong. Wasn't A-Rod the first one?
No, okay, you're right. You're right. Yeah, okay, A-Rod was
A-Rod,
the first one.
A-Rod, no name, the first one.
Now, you know what? It's funny that you say that, and I'm glad you. I'm saying, because, you know, there was a time, and it just shows you how rapidly and how well A-Rod had done that, because at one time, the guy shooting to become the first Hispanic player to hit 5 home runs was going to be Jose Canseco, and that was something that he was looking on, banking on for credibility and entrance into the Hall of Fame. And A-Rod is not only the first at 500, but without question, the first and only to hit 600 home runs. That he was the youngest man ever to hit 600 home runs. Thank you, Dusty. And, you know, Dusty, today is his birthday to our own, let me get here, our own Nate MLB Baseball. Nate is a devout Pittsburgh Pirates fan, and he's in town. He's going to try to catch up with us. He didn't see you doing some things. But we were talking yesterday, and we put a little happy birthday in the background, Jim. And they told me something that was so profound. And this is the thing that Sports in Depth does. You hear things here you don't hear anyplace else. You learn things here you can't learn anyplace else because of the intellect of these people that we bring to you. Jump Shop Jonesy, Lil Hoopster, Devil Barrel Harold, the NFL 401, Lady A, the Cisco Kid Muscles, and Dusty H-Rat X Brown Jr. And we say happy birthday to Nate today, the 27th of April. And let's not ever forget, as the games are counting down to a precious few down the line for Derek Anderson Jeter, number two, and I've said this redundantly, he wears the number apropos because he's second to none as a person, as a player. Everything Joe DiMaggio was supposed to be, everything Mickey Mantle was, a real live American hero. And his resume shows things they've never done. 2008, first Yankee ever to do it. Maybe the only Yankee who will ever do it. And he's also a lifetime three-run hitter, which Mantle wasn't. And the only Yankee ever, right now, to win an All-Star Game MVP. Derek Anderson Jeter. At one time, I thought Derek was the best. The time has come on. He's proved to be the absolute best. Doc Stanley, what's this? Happy birthday to you, Nate. And told me a little special thing. We'll talk about that later. All right, we've got some things happening. We're looking for Luis Collazo to join us. And if he doesn't join us, we'll have a little shorter show than what we thought. He said he would get to us, but he's getting ready to go out to Vegas. He's going to be the co-main event on the Mayweather-Madonna card. He's fighting Amir Khan.
He's in Vegas already, Doc.
Yeah. Huh?
I think he flew out yesterday or Thursday or yesterday.
No. I spoke to him Tuesday. Remember when you were eyeing that other piece of chocolate cake that I got. Okay. he said he's not leaving until tomorrow, but maybe that may have changed, okay. And maybe that's why he's up there as absence.
Cutting you very short.
Issue that we want to really talk about real quickly, and we'll get to Hoopster and Jumpside Jonesy. It's in your venue beyond the NBA playoffs, sad and touching. Donald Sterling, Magic Johnson.
Forget that, bro. You shouldn't even glorify that piece of shit.
Well, hey, Doc, can I say something about that?
Hold tight. Everybody hold tight. It's a situation.
The Nets are losing. That's what you got to worry about.
No, well, the thing is, Dusty, it's not that we want to glorify, but these kind of cancers have to be weird. And, you know, President Obama said, and it validates, he said, it just validates that the racism that's such a fiber of this country is not there. Things haven't changed. And you're perpetrating the fraud. There's a great man, B-Boy, in Black Book, they said, the prayer would say, you're perpetrating the fraud. Doc Rivers said, I'm not surprised at this. He said, but we have to move on as a team. We have a goal. We cannot let him take the focus off our goal. I take my hat off to the Clippers, what they did today, their show of protest. Michael Jordan said
the thing is, you know, he's going out with a black woman or a half black woman. And
Mexican
shit. And so, you know, that's why I don't even mention it.
Oh,
so
picture with Magic Johnson.
Hold on. Two things here. I want you to come in. But we have to do another thing here, too, now. We have to wait because there's a possibility. I mean, his track record is bad. There's a possibility, though, that he did not say this. There's somebody trying to sabotage him. So there's no validation that he did it. Now, his track record does show him to be, refused to rent apartments to African-Americans. There's a quote that he said to Coach from Villanova. You know, how can you get those, the big N-words? So we will not pass judgment.
And he made fun of Hispanics, too. So.
And don't forget, Doc, your good friend filed a lawsuit against him, too, Elgin Baylor.
Yeah, the great Elgin Baylor. That didn't win.
That's right. Yes, he did. Fired him. That's right. He was the first black GM the Clippers ever had in the history of that franchise.
What else did you want to jump on about this? And the jump shot Jones
also, I want to send my doses out there to the Clippers. And also, this is a black guy of the NBA. And I hope the commissioner. And also, you know, a couple months ago, you know, I covered a strike. Rosa was a strike season. So I hope the owners now. just side with the players and they all can stick together in this situation.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm pretty sure HRAP is with me, they're moving too slow in this. Something should have been done.
I heard it's going to be Tuesday. He's going to make that announcement.
On the other hand, what I just said, it's not been validated. So we do not want to jump too soon. Okay?
What the commissioner says Tuesday.
Because I'm saying, here's a guy that was saluted by the NCAA, was going to be saluted again. So maybe, and that means in today's society.
That's the oxymoron on this thing. He was honored twice.
Yeah, not only that, Dusty. I mean, in today's society with high tech technology, and the guy is perfect. How many guys have done time in prison where everything pointed to it being him and it wasn't him? And then what point to this being him? Understand? I called my good friend, my buddy Magic. They told him, I'm in his corner, definitely support him. He's got enough important people too. But the thing is, we have to make sure this is so. I mean, because I remember an incident when I first started, before I started working for the incomparable, the legendary Gloria Gaynor, and her astute and a great man, Linwood Maxwell. So we were watching a show, and this guy was in prison for killing both his children and his wife. And forensic medicine showed later on that his wife had did it to look like he did it. So we have to hope that, yes, he's got a bad track record. Yes, he's not the best fielder in the world, but it's, you know, we have to see all things point to this being him. His track record shows that, and we just want to say here that we have to wait.
Doc, you also have to look, and I kind of agree with the new commissioner in the point that you made that you have to make sure. I mean, because just because he has a track record of it, it makes him vulnerable to this type of being targeted, if it's in fact that he is targeted or in fact that he did do it. Doc, just before we get started here with the Yankee game, just wanted to, I came in late, just wanted to let our listeners out there know to keep Lady A and her father in their prayers as he recovers on, major surgery. And, one reason Lady A's not with us tonight as she's down, with her dad.
She sent a text out, wants to thank all the sports and their family and our listeners for their prayers and her concern. Wings, you come in right on the money. About this, and you look. I mean, he made a comment. That I do look and like black people. Now, the thing here is, he says he doesn't want. I mean, he doesn't want his lady picture with Magic Johnson. Maybe there's a jealousy thing there.
He took a picture with Steve Kemp too, and Kemp also from the Dodgers. Doc, she took a picture with also.
Yeah. So I mean, and understand, she's half black, half Mexican. Viva Emiliano Zapata, who's one of my childhood heroes. You can call me the Batista.
So we have to see. Let's hold down. Like I said, there's some people who have a suit against him. There's some people who said they would get him. So we
and
have
doctor,
to make
and
sure.
Also,
was that who's
And Kevin Johnson, the mayor of Sacramento, was also involved in this also.
It's a great game. Kevin was at the Warrior Clipper game. And I think today everybody was against the Clippers. Everybody wanted to see Mark Jackson in the win. And then Kevin Johnson, I saw Kevin Johnson, and it gives me an opportunity to talk about the Trust in God Sports and their Entertainment Artifacts Museum. Kevin Johnson, I remember asking Kevin for a pair of sneakers. Devout Christian, and he told me, hey, look, I need these, but I'll mail you a pair. Kevin Johnson today is the only person that ever said he was mailing me something, and he died. I wish I kept the box. I have the sneakers here, and he's been one of the great guards in the game, one of the guys that's come on. A great person, too. Wears number 7 because – I said, why do you wear number 7? He said, you know why. That's God's number for perfection. Great player. great person, and really so glad to see him do well. A Virginia Squire reunion this past weekend down in Virginia. Dr. J and the crew, we want to salute all of them. Looking across the board at the pitchers and the catchwords, the great Michael Jeffrey Jordan and Irving Magic Johnson upset at the allegations of the so-called remarks by the Clipper owner, Mark Jackson, rumored to possibly be a person that would be considered for the Knicks job, but you have to take your hat off to him at a great job he's done.
Hey,
with
Doc,
the Clippers.
I got something else I'm going to tell you, too. Doc Rivers not thinking about coming back next year neither with the Clippers.
Wow. This is a, ladies and gentlemen,
yep.
Did you, hold tight. Wait a minute now. Hold on now. There it is. First, no place else. Back here, Blog Talk Radio, Doc Stanley Sportsnet. The Hoopster has just told us that Doc Rivers now, with this lucrative contract, Doc Rivers now, with outstanding team, is thinking about not coming. And this is
exactly. And also, he want to talk to Sterling first.
Well, okay, and that's the point. See, I love that. Let's get it from the horse's mouth. And if it is so, taking a stand. And this is why you love Ali. Took a stand. You know, and what's that great line by Dr. King? Injustice anywhere, okay, is an infraction on justice everywhere.
Because he was very upset about it.
You know,
I like what he said today. He was just, I like what he said at the press conference. His fault. I said, I had the guys play. That was on me. I like he's standing up and has responsibility.
Here's another thing. Here's another thing too. And I think the sports guy. Well, Jalen Rose said he couldn't play for the guy. And my thing is, why can't Doug Collins wear a tie? I mean, what is
on Doug Collins' resume that he's such an expert on professional basketball? My biggest thing with Doug is that Doug wouldn't pass the ball if I could say.
That don't make you too big of an expert to me. I mean, I thought the idea was winning. But the thing that I'm saying, they kept talking about the players. Once you get on the basketball court, I'm not thinking about the owner. I'm trying to shoot a jump shot. I'm trying to get a rebound. I'm trying to play defense. It doesn't enter my mind when I get the pass or what the owner said. So I think they get overplayed that.
Well, you
know
what Darren Davis said.
It's your responsibility.
Well, I mean, I think
you're saying that he didn't even want to play. He didn't even want to play when the owner came into the arena when he played with the Clippers, Baron Davis. I mean, he said he would be out there and you know, at practice or when there's a game time, and the owner comes in and Sterling. He said, "Oh, I mean, he just feels so much tension, and I mean, you know, why should I play for this guy who doesn't like me and doesn't want me to, you know, doesn't like me," or put it like that. I mean, obviously, if he didn't want him there, he wouldn't, you know, sign the contract. But, I mean, like I said, you still have to weigh it down the middle until otherwise that is proven. It's not like the Cincinnati Reds former owner where she was just on the record. It's just saying these things and how she felt about, you know, African-Americans and African-American players. Even after she was fine, she continued in making these comments. So, I mean, that was something that was just said, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Doc, there was a lot of complaints on him. He used to bring women to the locker rooms. There was a lot of complaints on him.
He's on the team. You do what you want. He's on the team. You do what you want. I mean, let's not get twisted. He's on the
team.
I know
that. But there was a lot of players used to complain to Elgin about him.
What was that?
I said a lot of players used to complain to Elgin Baylor about him, what he used to do with the women, bring the women to the locker room after the game.
What do you mean? You mean him bringing women to the locker room after the owner of the team?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm on the team. I do what I want. I pay you.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm on the team.
You're the owner.
I'm on the team. I do what I want. It's my team. I pay you. You don't pay me. And the thing here is, the great thing that Doc Rivers said, he's not surprised. This is not surprising. This man is not speaking just for himself. He's speaking for a large populace of this country.
He used to play for the Clippers, too. And he used to play for the Clippers.
Yeah. See, I mean, we don't know. But once again, the thing we're saying is, Doc Stanley Sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, my man Darren Gazer, I want to say hi to him, over my man Pamela's barbershop. He came in with his buddy. He had a bat and a catcher's mitt. And I was telling them to listen to the show tonight, so I hope you listen in. And I was telling them, in New York City, this is an astonishing number, Dusty, an astonishing number. We had three catchers who won seven MVP awards. Roy Campanella, the first black catcher to ever win the MVP award, the first black player to win it three times. Yogi Berra won it three times, should only win it twice. Elston Howard, not only the first black player in the Yankees, but the first black player in American League history to win the MVP. And yeah. So the tools of ignorance kind of paid off quite well for those guys. Bill Dickey, one of the great catchers and one of the few catchers to hit 300 in the history of baseball. Another New York elite catcher. So you're talking about Dickey, you're talking Berra, you're talking Campanella, and you're talking about Elston Howard. Gil Hodges came up as a catcher, the great Gil Hodges, the great Dodger Gil Hodges. Dr. Teddy's Wooden Block Talk Radio on the Custom Guardian Network. We're looking for Louis Colosso to join us. He said he was, but maybe there's a situation where the Camp City had to fly out. So we'll look at that. So Jump Shot Jonesy, you're quiet here. What's going on, Jump Shot?
Right here, Doc. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. I mean, can you hear? What's your story? We're talking about the situation. And you're talking about something, too. We're talking about basketball. A pipe puts 30, 40 games over 500 can. Gone. Slam jam. And you can call somewhere along the line, that sort of was an injustice. This guy has done a good job in the past, got your team to the playoffs. You're feeling that maybe he should have been given a little more leeway or another opportunity?
Well, I thought it was just interesting that Mike D'Antoni requested and got an extension in Los Angeles.
Slap in the face.
And they had one of their worst seasons, certainly since they've been in Los Angeles.
The worst season in the history, and the worst season in the history of the Lakers since they've been in L.A. So not one of the worst, Jump Shot. You're being too kind. The worst ever in the history of the Lakers in L.A.
Don't forget, don't count off the Knicks and the Celtics also. The two greatest franchises of all time, the Knicks and the Celtics also.
No, the thing here we're talking about is the horrible season that was had by the Lakers this year with D'Antoni, and the guy's been known as simply an offensive coach. I believe G.W. Mike is finally joining us. G.W., you in the house?
Yes, I'm here. How are you guys?
Okay,
hey,
we'll
what's up, man?
In just a minute.
Jump Shot, you felt that
Woodson should have been given a little more leeway. I've long said this. I'm just taken back. I mean, Phil Jackson was an elite coach.
Phil Jackson has made some elite accomplishments as a coach.
Phil Jackson was not one of the best coaches in history of games, like Vernon Hopkins. Vernon Hopkins was an elite champion. Vernon Hopkins has met some elite stats in the game, but Hopkins is not an elite fighter.
And the strength of Phil Jackson is in coaching. And once again,
according to what I read, because you can't believe Reggie Reed, but his girlfriend
said, hey, why don't you coach in there? And Jackson
said no. And we're going to my thing is because it's not a pet hand. It's not a set hand. Let him take the team that Woodson had and do better. And I think the fact that he said no, fellas, that he can't. Jump Shot, you feel that Woodson should have gained the reprieve. Am I correct?
No, that's a management decision. What I'm saying is, it illustrates the inequality, which also kind of leads us to, you know, Mr. Sterling and his comments. You know, this has been going on. There's 450 years of evidence of inequality. What's new now in 2014? You have D'Antoni, you have Woodson. Why does it surprise anyone? You know.
Well, I mean, if
Woodson's record was 25-57, it's automatic. You know, he's gone. D'Antoni's record was 25-57. Yes, he did lose, and I don't make light of him not having a franchise player, two of them.
No,
because you know, even Steve Nash three and out most of the season will hurt
the
team. But how you know? Again, this is the inequality that has been going on, not just with basketball and coaching, but in a lot of industries throughout this country. It's just what it is.
It's no surprise. There's no surprise.
Is racial profiling new?
Nope.
It's not new.
Never.
And so this guy, in his commentary, like it or not, is another form of racial profiling. And this is, and as you said earlier,
Michael,
it is representative of probably a large segment of this country, even in 2014. We just happen to have his comments just happen to get publicized. And I'm sure the other 28 owners outside of Mr. Jordan, you know, could have elements of that. It's not for me to speak, you know, for them. But this is just what has to be dealt with in this country. It's just, you know, what it is. It's one of the black marks in America and has been for a long time.
What subject are you pertaining to as far as the sports aspect of this?
Hey, Doc.
Coaching.
Hey, Doc,
coaching.
Can you hear me?
What topic were we first talking about?
Sterling, the owner of the Clippers.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Am I coming in clear?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is C-Wings. I'm reporting live from Yankee Stadium. I'm hanging out with the Bleacher Creatures in Section 238 before this game gets started. Just wanted to, on behalf of the Sports and Death family, out to the family of Eric Morrell, the quarterback for the then Baltimore Colts, the New York Jets. He passed away on Friday at the age of 79, and we just give our deepest condolences out to the Morrell family on the loss of a great gentleman. A wonderful quarterback who took over after Johnny Unitas got hurt in the last preseason game of the 68 season. We salute you, Eric Morrell. You will live in our hearts forever and our memories of the National Football League. Doc, I will be checking in with the show throughout the segments of the game. I'm going to get here to the game here. As you can see, the fans are very enthusiastic. Tanaka is pitching tonight. Derek Jeter is in the lineup. C-Wings coming to you live from the Bleacher Creatures, 238 Yankee Stadium, as the New York Yankees host the Los Angeles Angels. Last game of a three-game series, and hopefully the Yankees pull it out tonight. Back to you guys in the studio.
All right. Disappeared.
So is it over? I mean, I don't know what's going on.
No, we're still on. I'm still here.
Oh.
Still here. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
All right. I know you saw the fight last night.
Was that Mayweather or Klitschko?
No, well, you didn't see the Klitschko fight. I mean, you know. got the results. But that's no surprise. That's no surprise to nobody.
No.
You know, it, you know what's so phony about this whole thing about our situation boxers? Because now you classifying guys with the great ones. Klitschko can stay around for the next 5 years and break Joe Louis' records, break all kinds of records. But he's not fighting nobody. That's the bad part. Bernard Hopkins stayed around till he's 60 years old. But he's not fighting nobody. I mean,
Harold, I think can we talk about what you talked about? Not only, I mean, I think what validates what you said, and I tell you something too here, ladies and gentlemen, there's some things coming up, because Harold gets it from the hotline, you know. Harold gets it from the hotline, and Harold told us that our late friend Emmanuel Stewart was sicker than what was perceived. It was true. You told me something about Golden Boy. That's validated. And you said something that really bothered you, Harold, was that here's a guy that was a world champion. Here's a guy fighting a championship fight. Harold, he didn't have a trainer. He trained himself.
Yeah, the guy.
Yeah.
The guy,
trained himself.
I got to give that guy a lot of credit.
Yep,
I mean,
exactly.
The 14-1 record, all right? Never had a trainer, okay? He was more into a karate kind of world, and he came into boxing, okay? That shows you how low boxing is, all right? When you got a guy that don't have a trainer, okay? It was the most craziest thing I ever seen. Because when the guy said he didn't have a trainer in the corner, and they put the camera in the corner, and the guy didn't say nothing to him, he's looking across the ring, he just patted his face down, and he's looking at you and said, I'm going to beat your ass on our next round. I'm going to get you. It's like I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I have never, ever seen a corner where nobody said nothing. Nothing.
Wow.
For 12 rounds, nothing. Okay? Because they didn't have the right to say, because they didn't train him. They couldn't tell nothing anyway, because he was his own trainer. Unbelievable, okay? That's how sad our sport has gotten into. The other factor, you got one guy that's fighting for the world championship. He only has two fights, and he's fighting for the world championship. I don't give a darn how great his record was at amateurs. I know guys greater than him can fight greater than him, could not fight for the world championship back in the day. And that's a disgrace. And that's a disgrace to the organization that passed the fight for him to fight for a championship fight. That's how they do. And that's a disgrace to the boxing commissioner that approved the fight, because there's no way in the world, in the rules of boxing, that a guy that has two fights fight a 12-round fight in a professional sport. That's how disgraceful it is. So if we didn't go back, we have went completely back to the boxing, where it's nothing today. Nothing.
But you got to go back. You got to go back to the fact when this Tony Hunsaker, I think he had won a gold medal, Olympic medal, and he fought Floyd Patterson. I mean, in those days, they let him do the same thing. He fought Floyd Patterson in his first pro fight, and he knocked down Floyd Patterson, an amateur. So it's nothing new. It really isn't nothing new, Harold. I mean, they let the guy come out of the Olympics and fight Floyd Patterson, and he dropped for Floyd Patterson. So, you know, that these guys maneuver all this, that this guy doesn't have a trainer, I mean, there's nothing new. The little stupid things that they let the guys go. And Shumanov, when I spoke to him, he says, no, I train myself. I don't need a trainer. So
let me just say this, and I'm going to say it loud and clear. It's a good time, if you can be a fighter, get you a trainer, to be in boxing. Because it's the most stupidest sport to be, but you can make $1 million if you're getting the right move. All you got to do is build your 15, 20 wins, 17 wins, and you can be rated, do your little thing, and fight for the world champion and make $1 million. This is the best time to be in boxing. And I'm a proud, and I tell you this too, you're not going to get hurt, because ain't nobody tough.
Well, you got a case in point. Isn't Antonio Tarver now moving up, and he's still fighting, and he's trying to contend for the heavyweight championship of the world? Antonio Tarver.
I don't blame him. I do not even blame him. Not even blame him. And you know why he's doing it? Because he owes that money out there, and he's got to take care of that. And he
knows a lot of money to be made.
Right, and he knows he gets $3 or $4 million because Klitschko, you fight them, they get $20 million right off the top.
Yeah. Did you see that pint-sized Hawaiian that he fought Saturday?
I don't even know.
Where did this guy come from?
Right.
This guy came from, and he buckled down in the fourth round or something. And the guy was smaller than David Tua, and he fought Klitschko. You know, that's how boxing is, man. You know.
You think Shannon Briggs tossed himself into a heavyweight title fight or
what? I'm going to get me about 3 or 4 fights and make it, and I'm going to swear to God, I'm going to go to MMA and all that. But I ain't messing with no other guy. I'm going to go with them guys already tough, and I'm going to make them to boxing and come to boxing and make a pot full of money because these guys can't fight no more. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I mean, it's gotten to a point now where it's so pathetic. It's so pathetic right now. And you know, the sad part is, you know, Harold, the one thing I got to disagree with you on is this. It's not that I would say the fighters in the media spotlight are the ones that are not tough. There's some kids out there. I got to honestly say, I'm at the point now where it's sickening to me with the high end of this sport, and I don't want to sound bitter, but I get all fired up when I hear about this. But, you know, let's really think about this right now. You got guys that are out there that are hungry as hell, and they can't even get fights because they do not have the ticket sales, and they don't have this, and they don't have that, and they're not groomed. I see this time and time again. I saw a guy from Philadelphia about 3 months ago. This kid looked like he was on the level of a world-class fighter. And, you know, he goes, I can't get any fights. He goes, nobody will put their guys in the ring with me because I don't show enough.
And that's what the big problem is. You don't have – that's what's so great about Madison Square Garden, okay, because you can fight on that show and you didn't have to be connected. Today's time, everybody, if you can fight, they want to sign you up. You don't want to sign up with everybody that wants to promote you, and that's where the big problems come at. You don't have that independent promotion that guys, like you said, that's independent, you know, that's by themselves. They want to just fight, build their records up, and make themselves great fighters. But you can't get that. And when these guys put you on their little funny card, they say, well, you got to sell us 500 tickets. You sell the 500 tickets, and you win. Now they say, oh, you got to sign a 500, you got to sign a 20-year contract with us. I mean, that's the sad part about the whole thing right now.
Well, let's look at the whole picture. Look at the whole picture. I'm going to give you guys an example, right? I was in upstate New York for that Boxino tournament up on for ESPN. That was a publicly televised fight. The place wasn't even a quarter sold out. Now, meanwhile, I talked to one of the promoters down at Graziano's who did a fight in Syracuse the night before. He said he sold almost 1,000 to 1,500 tickets. He was sold out. The place was packed. Because people, I honestly think this, and I really, really want to believe this. I really, truly think that the people are tired of all this bullshit, and they want to see grassroots again. There's a fight circuit starting in every state. Like, every big city. You go to Syracuse, you go to Boston, you go to these areas, there's a local fight circuit that people just want to see fight. People just want to see real fights. They don't want to see this.
Hold on a second. What we're going to do, we're going to cruise into, give you a long segment, because I'm going to go in the studio and you're going to handle this. We're going to do a long second of a mic on, a light talk. You know, Harold, you got a lot of nerve talking Yang Yang because you were the guy that started all this stuff, man. You were the guy you were the guy that stayed independent, but you were a guy that could fight. But you were a rebel because you sold tickets. What made people come to the Garden was your ability to fight, the ability to sell tickets, and you're the one who told DK, look, man, I don't want to get locked into no 80-year contract with nobody. I want to be able to do what I want to do. If I got a title fight next month, I want to be able to take it. Am I right, Al?
Right, but my point is that, Mel, I probably was the only fighter in Don Well besides probably Hurricane Carter and Emil Griffin that would say, you just put the names in the hat and we'll fight the guy. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm going to sell tickets for it anyway.
Hold on, just a second. We're going to do something, don't move. And we're also remembering Hurricane Carter. What we're going to do, Marvin Gaye is going to do this for us, and I'm going to give you a long, extended segment. Sports and Death, Mike on Lights Off, Jump Shot Jonesy, The Hoosa, Double Bow How, GW Mike, and H. Les Brown, X. Junior Dusty. Give me a 45 seconds. Give me a list. Marvin Gaye has this to say, and then, gentlemen, the platform belongs to you. Mr. Gaye, please.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
Mom, we're gonna run away from you, commit. I got another call here. I got DW Mike. I got another 203 call. 667-039.
That
is that you? Who's this? Hello?
That's Danny Arisco, a friend of mine, Doc.
Okay, Danny, love
Hello.
To have you, baby. Thanks. Okay, Danny, just hang with us. If you were GW.
Yes, this is Dan. How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
We're doing great. Love to have you. We're going to talk boxing strictly. We're going to talk everything right now. I'm going to slide into the studio, and I'm going to let the gentleman. We're bringing you. People said, hey, Doc, we love the mic on, lights off. It ain't long enough. It's going to be long enough today. Ladies and gentlemen, Sports and Death Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Oh, yeah. We're going to run into mic on, lights off, and we're going to cruise into it as the way that only Smokey Robinson could do it for us. Smokey, could you bring us in just real cool, real smooth, real slow? Smokey. There you go. Doc Stanley Sports and Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Turn the lights down low. It's Sports and Death. Mic on, lights off. Ladies and gentlemen, Sports and Death. Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. One more time, yo. I got to see another. I see 917. Is this the... Are we back at the stadium now? 917-549-1857. Who's that joining us?
You forgot who this is?
Who we got here?
You forgot who this is?
917-5. Oh, who got it, baby?
What's up, bro? This is Muscles.
Okay, Muscles. Glad you get here. I mean,
It's just okay.
I know. You came. You came here. Hey, put the rum down, baby. Gang. Okay. Mic on. Lights off. Mic on, gentlemen. For the next hour or so, it's going to be mic on. Lights off. We're going to go from just everybody jump in, have you say, be orderly. Hal, we want you to start this. You was taken back by a lot of things, but you said something that was so fun. And I think, Hal, everybody, you know, you shoot it. I'm going to let you in it. I think that's what really hurt boxing, too, Hal. When the lights went out, when manager West Garden didn't have a hand in the game, I think that's been the reason for the deterioration of the game in a lot of ways, and everybody can elaborate on that. Hal, can you start it for us?
Well, I think that, you know, when you don't have that independent promotion that's going to give the other young men around the country opportunity to show their skills and, you know, if they keep winning, they can build their records up, make themselves good fighters, you're losing out because now you got promoters who are just trying, you know, well, yeah, you're making money in the boxing world, but at the same time, you're not really being very grateful to the sport. Because what you're trying to do is pretty much is putting your fighter with different fighters that you can win, and you're pretty much sabotaging the sport. Because really, if you look at the whole thing, the boxing commissioners are not doing the job they're supposed to do because they're supposed to regulate each bout to where the fights are even, and we can see that ain't happening. And on the other hand, is that the fighters themselves, the promoters, they're just making sure that their fighters win. So they can tell you, say, this is the greatest fight of all time. We got two undefeated fights. All of them 100. They got 100 fights apiece, and they all undefeated. I mean, you know, we all know that's a crock of bull. But the fact is that they do have the record because they've been fighting bums. My point is that they are fooling the public, and they're telling the public one thing. believe me or your lying eyes. And that's where the public is starting to lose interest in this sport. And this sport is drowning. And these same promoters that we see that's putting money in this game, they're going to jump dead out of this soon as the sport starts falling and the money's coming in no more. And that's
yeah, and what I talked to GW Mike about, and Dusty, I want you to kind of moderating panelists as I slide back. And, you know, one thing here, too, that me and GW talked about, and too, how, you know, and this deterioration with the loss of Madison with God, you know, you can't blame Don King. You can't blame DK.
Well, we got to blame Don King because he's the one that started it all.
At least you're not on the scene, Al. You're not on the scene right now.
Well, the point is that you got to blame Don. But Don did what he did. You know, we had people just follow the suit. And what Don did, he flashed that little money in everybody. And everybody, yeah, they saw it and they ran after it. And they thought it was the best thing since heaven. And the fact is that what he was doing, he was destroying the sport. He was just tearing down the whole situation where now we don't have no gyms in a lot of places in the world that we did before. And so don't put Don King on pedestal. He's the one that destroyed the sport.
No, I'm not. The point you bring. You bring a good point. Well, and you get it, but I'm just saying. In this late mess, you know, Don hasn't done any promotion. And I've always said this, you know, Don, everybody falls in the mud. Don is the guy that comes up with the mud on him. But I'm just saying, as of lately, he hasn't had a hand in sort of the disruptive and the destruction that's going on. You're saying he's part of the seed, but I'm saying lately he hasn't been on the scene where we can – he hasn't been visual, Harold. He hasn't been visual.
But he started the whole thing, so that's how come we got so many people involved. I mean, he started to destroy the sport that was so great.
So, can I interject? Can I interject?
Yeah, fellas, everybody, take your time and jump on it. Yeah, go ahead. You got it. Go ahead. Come on in.
I don't even think Don King started it. I think it came way before Don King with the mafia and all the corruption. And Don King happened to be another phase in boxing. I think what's going on here is that the powers that be in boxing, there's always somebody trying to gain power in boxing. You know, after Don King, you know, you had Don King Promotions, then you had Top Rank. Now you have Golden Boy and Top Rank going at each other trying to get top position. It's like that's what's killing the sport, is that the sport has always suffered from fighters being robbed by promoters, whether it be the mafia, whether it be Don King, whether it be Top Rank, whether it be Golden Boy. You know, now you got Al Haymon. You got all these guys struggling to gain control in boxing. And that's really it at the end of the day. I mean, you got this guy Al Haymon now who's being praised by all these fighters because he's supposedly making them more money than they ever made in their careers.
He could be the next Don King.
Exactly. And he signed
people
so many fighters.
Talking about him in 30 years from now, let's just like to talk about Don.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know,
what's going on is that you got so many of these entities, these promotional companies, trying to gain a hold of boxing, trying to be the controller of the sport, and all they're really doing is pimping fighters, swallowing the talent pool that's out there, fighters that should be getting fights are not getting fights. And it's slowly diminishing it's getting people that would actually say, hey man, let me be a fighter. Nah, I'm gonna be a basketball player because I'm gonna make more money. Nah, I'm gonna be a football player because I'm gonna make more money. I'm gonna be a baseball player because I'm gonna be making more money. Where in boxing, it's pretty much the top of the heap is pretty much swallowing fighters, even fighters that make a lot of money. And I don't think you've ever seen in a sport a guy like what's going on now. You got Floyd Mayweather, Money Mayweather, okay? This guy is pretty much making more money than any other fighter in the sport. He's the only top pay-per-view fighter in the sport. The only guy that's making so much money more than any other fighter in the sport that this guy is walking away with easy fights. He's doing a lot better job than he did with Roy Jones. You know?
Well, you know,
I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on. With this guy,
hold a second. Everybody's talking about it. You guys forget history. Boxing is just as dirty now as it was in my time. Promoters were garbing everybody as it was as it is today, as it was in
well,
my
that's
time.
What I,
the
well,
difference.
That's what I said. That's what
the
I said.
The difference. No, in my, you talk about Golden Boy. Those suckers never
no,
existed.
Was, no,
not even
saying,
top rank.
No, no,
what
no,
I'm
no,
trying
no,
to
no,
tell
no,
you
no.
guys is this, that the,
but I was
the,
saying that
the reason. The reason why I don't bitch about boxing is because of the fact, not that I was in it for 12 years, but because of the fact that fighters, whether they're mediocre, whether they're promoted or not, are making decent money. When you fight a goddamn four round for $75 as opposed to $7,000 today, that's a lot of freaking money. Understand? And on top of that, you got these guys with the junior titles and the Latino super welterweight, and this guy's making $10,000-$15,000 because he's a super Latino champ, which is a bogus title. All these bogus titles are making these guys money, whereas a sixth round in my time was $175. You're lucky if you got that. Okay? The biggest purse went to, you criticize Mayweather? Well, then what about Sugar Ray Robinson? He was the top moneymaker then. You don't cut Sugar Ray Robinson or he doesn't fight. So we are doing a deja vu. It's the same business. Now, the fact of the matter is that, hold a second, that you got a fighter. You got a fighter like, hold a second, let me finish. You got a fighter like Timothy Smith. In order to fight Pacquiao, he had a sign with Top Rank, the first fight. And then, in order to fight Pacquiao a second time, he had to re-sign a 2 years extension with Top Rank, and he made $10 million fighting Pacquiao.
That's
so that's
cause
money.
Because she's coming from Florida. Lady, are you with us?
Hey,
Dusty,
I got a question for you.
Hold on. Lady A?
Mike, I'm here.
Lady A?
He's not here.
I thought she was here. Okay, I wanted to come once again. We're asking all of our viewers and listeners to pray for Lady A and for her dad. He had triple bypass heart surgery. Chen Smith lost his grandmother. My nephew Eric is had an aneurysm last Sunday. Wound up at the hospital, DOA. But you don't go until the little garden that sent you to go, so keep him in your prayers. Mic on, lights off, sporting them. The gang's all here. Lady A, I was hoping you would, I thought you were here, but I got something to say. Please join us. Dusty, go ahead back when you fought back there with little David and Goliath, when you, and you picked Samson. Dusty was there with Cain and Abel, and Samson was a 3-point underdog against the Philistines, and you won that one too, didn't you, Dusty?
That's right. I knocked him out in the first round, man.
Go ahead, I'll tell you.
Keep it coming. I love it. Keep it coming.
Go ahead, gang. Continue.
I love that. Go ahead, Dusty.
I got a question for you. When you talk about your era, right? And you know, we're talking about you say you compare Sugar Ray Robinson to Mayweather. You know, the thing
don't compare.
In terms of business, yes.
That's what I'm talking about as far as you know, the money wise. Yeah, you're never going to take that away from the top of the chain. Here, let me finish here, guys. The thing that gets me is though, right? You know, I was watching that 24/7. I mean, I was watching that All Access the other night, and the only thing that I could think of, again. Now, being in this sport and covering it for 4 to 5 years, I'm really getting sickening by what I'm seeing of what this sport is being. This sport has never been stripped of its beauty with this, where something almost comes up like it's like a Bachelor or a Kardashian show. We're taking away from the roots of what this sport is about. You know what I mean? You want a kid that wants to be a fighter. The reason why a kid wants to be a fighter now is because, I see bling. And now, let's be realistic right now. You want to talk about you're the greatest fighter that ever lived, right? I mean, You talk about, you got to go back to your roots. Muhammad Ali fought in Africa once he conquered a nation here. Sugar Ray Robinson did a trip across Europe. I mean, this is a world class. But now this sport has become a point where, and again, I really think, going back to what I said before, I think the sport will correct itself. Just like the American economy eventually.
It's a sport that corrects itself. It corrupts itself. It corrects itself. It corrupts itself. It corrects itself. It's never going to go out of business because you'll always find people who are fans who are going to follow. Now become global because of Macau and all over the world. You're going to have people who are dying for it.
But
the fact of the matter is,
check this out. How many pay-per-view stars we had back in the 90s, back in the 80s,
nobody.
Even in the 70s? Now we got one fighter who's a pay-per-view star.
Exactly.
And then after he's gone, what do we got? We got nothing. You know what I mean? That's why Mayweather is talking so much crap about him being the best, et cetera, et cetera.
Of course, because they catered to him. Don't you see? Let me tell you something, Francisco. Let me tell you guys something. There are four people who are the most powerful in Las Vegas. Steve Wynn. I saw Mommy sitting kissing Santa Claus or Newton. Celine Dion. And number four, you don't have to do your homework. It's Floyd Mayweather. He is the cash cow when it comes to boxing in Las Vegas. So, of course, he's going to go out there and demand and get. Did you see that excess?
I'm going to say
how he turns around. Why? Because he brings them a lot of money. So they're going to cater to his ass.
Boxing only has. Listen to me. Where was Floyd Mayweather when Mike Tyson, Holyfield, Felix Trinidad, Roy Jones,
nowhere.
Whitaker, when we had so many? There is, right. Exactly.
That's right.
His name has only gained notoriety because he's the last man standing. Boxing
has
him.
Pacquiao
is a second. That's pretty much it.
And you cannot take that if people cater. You cannot take away from him.
Where do you
criticize him? If people cater to what
Ward?
He's doing and he gets what he wants. He gets what he wants. Two of the vintage cars that he had that he showed off the other day were gifts from the MGM Grand, a $1.5 million apiece. Why? Because he brings him triple of that. So how the hell are you going to grudge him? I don't grudge him that, but that's the name of the game. And like I said, I'm glad the fighters today are making money that they can take care of their families. When you have dudes... In my time, God damn it, standing in front of Stillman's gym, begging for a dollar for a cup of coffee, man, and they were world champs. I mean, that's sickening. Understand? That's sickening, and that's what you got to understand. When you guys who were contenders and all that, winding up working in some goddamn bodega for $7 an hour, man, that is bad.
I don't think so because actually I saw a report of what fighters make. The average fighter makes $5,000 a year. Okay.
I don't know when you get that report, but these guys are making good money.
That's what Floyd has, right?
Floyd Mayweather is making a lot of money. You know, some of these top fighters, look at the popularity of the sport versus the guys that are making money on the top of the heap. You got to be kidding me that most of these fighters are making a lot of money.
They are making money.
Look, the top fighters like Floyd Mayweather, Andre Ward, Hopkins, you know, those fighters are making millions of dollars here and there, or a million here or 2 million there. But look at the rest of the population of fighters that are not making any money.
They're making mediocre money, but they're making better money than in the days gone by. This is what I'm trying to tell you, the comparison. Here, Bam Bam Rios has been offered $1 million after getting whipped by Pacquiao to fight Ruslan. $1 million. He says, no, I'm turning that shit down. Give me $1.5 million. Mickey Garcia. Mickey Garcia was supposed to get $500,000 between him and Gamboa, $500,000 each. Mickey Garcia turned it down because he wanted $2 million. You need to tell me you're going to turn down $500,000? So, you know, so that's what it is with these guys.
Listen,
I mean, I'm going to tell you, money is there.
Dusty, listen, let's be realistic, okay? The bottom line is, I don't hate on anybody for any of this. I don't hate on anybody. And, again, you've been around long enough, and you've always given the sport respect. I respect your opinion on everything, but we gotta be realistic right now. These guys, I gave these guys the benefit of the doubt. Everybody blamed Don King. Everybody blamed this. But at the end of the day,
I don't blame anybody.
No, but at the end of the day, these two promotional units had a clean slate. Let's make the fighters, we're fighters, we're sick of being taken advantage of, we want to promote ourselves and be the businessmen now. That's fine, go ahead. But when you hold captive a fight that could have made, my generation had their big fight. You know, you had Ali Frazier before that. People, kids see that. Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather. How in the world do you say you're the best fighter in the world and you don't fight each other? This is crazy. It doesn't happen.
You know why he says that and gets away with it? Because we, the media, and the imbecilic fans eat it up.
Yes.
He can BS you with the fact 45 tried, 45 failed. Is that true? Of course it's true.
Of course it's true.
But the fact of the matter is that you cannot disprove his bullshit because he has.
The point of the matter is, again, let's take Andre Ward right now. Here's another example. This guy's probably the heir to the throne of pound for pound.
Andre Ward. He's not fighting anybody.
But this is the whole point, though. The guy can't even get a fight right now. The guy can't even get a fight because of a promotional unit.
Promotional unit? I mean, come on. The man can go up to 75 pounds, which he won in the Olympics, and challenge the Hopkins and challenge all them suckers. He won't do it. He wants to stay at 68, and who the hell is he going to fight at 68? A blown-up Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. That's it, because he's not going to find anybody else. There isn't anybody else. And if he fights anybody else, will be all the suckers that he knocked out and beat in the Super Sixes tournament. He has nobody, and he doesn't make a move.
Yeah, but Dusty, we can't discredit him though. This guy is a decent fighter, and he beat everybody that they threw at him.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, he's definitely.
But who else has he got left? He has nobody in the 68 pounds.
The point of the matter is, he just threw him up against. I know Edwin Rodriguez is not something to brag about.
La Bomba was a bomb.
But can I tell you something? He was still an undefeated challenger, and he had an opportunity to fight him. The point of the matter is this guy is laid up on the shelf because of promotional problems. And why is this? Once again, because the sport of boxing, the promotional units cannot get their act together. I don't understand. To me, it discredits the sport. And, again, it goes back to what I'm saying before. You're starting to see guys step up and put up that $50,000. If I had an extra $50,000 right now, I would start my own promotional company if I had it. And I could commit to myself, and I didn't have a family after it. Because people rather see the fights that Felipe Gomez throws at the resorts casinos. People would rather see the shit that Artie Paul on the internet. The fighters aren't as good, but they give it's 100.
That's because he puts together. That's because he's in the game. He's committed to the game. He might not have the money some of these other guys are, but because they have the money, they have the ability to not make the fights people want to see, and they don't care because they're going to make money either way. They have the TV contract.
Right. And you got guys like Lou DiBella who imports bodies from all over the world with good records, and he keeps these guys alive. He keeps these guys with a paycheck. He got this Lorraine Hardy, whatever her name is, undefeated.
Yeah.
Who's trying to get her world title. So he's doing his little bit. But if he wants to do something big, he has to tie his ass to the top ranks, because that's why Miguel Cotto and him got to a fight. But look what happened to Martinez. Martinez had to take second banana, second billing, goes into the red corner instead of the blue corner. He walks in first instead of being last, as a contender, but he's the champ.
That shows the kind of champion that not only Martinez says, but it says a lot about both him and DiBella helping the sport of boxing. Because
that's bullshit, Doc.
Don't tell me that.
If I'm a champ, I'm not going to walk in first.
Yeah, but Dusty,
bullshit.
Come on, Dusty, man, nonsense.
That's
you, but other guys have done it. Larry Holmes did it.
I don't give a crap what they've done. I would not have done it. Sugar Ray Robinson didn't do it.
We're talking about you, and we're talking about Sugar Ray. But we're not talking about
this is a different era now, Dusty.
The thing here, Dusty, is, and I understand what you're saying. Be like Ali. I understand where you're coming from. Martinez does not get this fight. Martinez does not get this money if he doesn't do that. And you know what's the bottom line?
Let me ask you a very brief question. Why is he bellyaching about coming in first, being second banana, going to the red corner?
I think he's pissed. I just think he's going to look his ass, and he's pissed. He's kicking and screaming. He's kicking and screaming. He's not lying down.
He accepted it. So what is he talking about?
10% of something is better than 100% of nothing.
Come on, man. I'm the champ. I take second banana to nobody.
But that's true. He's getting a world-class opportunity right now, and that's why he's aching about it. World-class? Fighting a welterweight?
Come on, man.
But the point of the matter is, when Duran came up and fought Hagler, besides Hearns, Hagler couldn't get any big names. And then you turn around and Duran, he never fought him before Duran. Duran blew up, and it's the same exact situation. Both are not in the level of these two guys, but it's a similar situation. These are two of the guys, iconic figures, whether you agree with it or not. They're two iconic figures. And one guy is the middleweight champion of the world, and the other guy's coming up. It's just the same whole analogy as Duran coming up to fight Hagler. It's the same thing over again. It's going to be the same outcome. But the point of the matter is this guy got a, you know, he's pissed. I mean, I know how our Italian tempers are. That dude, man, he got that Spanish temper. Dude, he's pissed, and he's going to make his mind speak. And I think he's going to come out fighting like that. I don't think it means anything to him coming out last because he just wants to fight.
It's opportunity. I mean, it's not, I understand what you're saying, Dusty, but he put the ego aside. I mean, because if he says no, he don't fight Cotto. He gets the fight. He gets the money. He's going to beat Cotto.
And Dusty,
not only that, it's his first fight upstairs in the Big Garden, man. I mean, he had to make some concessions. I will not make any concessions.
You got your Puerto Rican Day parade, and you got your Puerto Rican people, but I'm still the champ. I don't care if you fill the house, I'm still the champ.
I salute Cotto taking this fight, regardless of anything. And I'm going to tell you right now, if this does happen, and let's just say, you know, obviously it should follow suit, you know, Sergio Martinez is probably going to be a little too big and a little too fast for him. And, you know, the bottom line is...
kick his ass, man.
Yeah, but now, you're the greatest fighter in the world. Sugar Ray Robinson went up in weight and tried going against Joey Maxim.
That was the heat, because he was kicking Maxim's ass.
You're the greatest fighter in the world. Hold on one second. You're the greatest fighter in the world. Now go after the middleweight championship of the world. That's it. I don't want to hear another word. There's a million, and Bernard made a good point about this the other night.
And Joey Maxim was 176.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Ray Robinson dreamed that was going to happen to him, as he also dreamed. Fox Sandy Sports Net Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network, Mike on Lights Off. He dreamed that he killed a guy, and he had called the fight off. And they brought up They brought a priest in. They brought a padre in, and they said, "Ray, it's just a dream." And Ray went with the fight, killed the guy. He said when he fought the guy, the next opponent, and he went down the same way. And he said a line that shows you how great Walker Smith Jr. was. He said after that, only four good enough to win. So I mean, I understand what you're saying, Dusty, with Martinez, but Larry Holmes, Larry took $1 million less to fight Cooney, but he said, hey,
he had
how
to give Cooney,
to
no, Doc, he took $1 million less. He had to give Cooney parity. He had to give Cooney parity.
No, if I'm correct, Cooney made $1 million more. Cooney made eight, Larry made seven.
No, he gave him parity.
50-50,
check it out. Let's check the figures. You correct me before.
And they made it a racial situation.
They
think they both got the same pay.
They got parity, and they made it a racial situation. Why the American needs you, Cooney?
But I remember exactly. My father was pissed because my dad went to that fight and saw it on my father didn't like that.
Well, you know, it's two things here. It's two things here. And everything is not a racial issue. And in this case,
it was a racial situation. Why the American needs you, Jerry? Beat this dude.
America made it that way. They made it into a racial issue.
Oh,
but,
come
but
on. Stop coming out for them, man. The Rappaport brothers are idiots. They were saying this.
What's that? All right, America was everything into a racial issue. I mean, black and white. Listen, what sells? Black guy against a white guy. That's what sells. I mean,
let's talk reality for a minute. Let's be realistic, okay? Now, right now, and I'm talking now. You got to think about this. I'm an Italian that's going to go on record and say this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You think about this. Larry Holmes lost his heavyweight title because of a statement that he made. Rocky Marciano couldn't wear his jacket. Now, let's think about this. Realistically, now, I'm going to sit here. Every Italian you're going to talk to, Rocky Marciano is the greatest fighter that, you know, he ever lived. And he never even would have lasted a round with Larry Holmes. He's a bigger man, a bigger heavyweight, a new breed of a heavyweight. Probably the best jab you ever seen. The point of the matter is this is how
Larry Holmes is one of the top three or four heavyweights ever.
Absolutely. So the point of the matter is that whole Cooney situation, it's with the boxing world, man. Of course, it was a race thing that they made. That's what they always do. You know, it's like they're building up these fighters now.
Well, but you know what? Larry Holmes said this after the Jerry Cooney fight. He said this when he lost to Michael Spinks.
I remember that night. I don't believe
that happened because he made that statement. That statement was made after the Jerry Cooney
fight.
Who made that fight? Don King and Jerry Cooney promoters.
Listen, he made that statement after the fight, and I'm going to tell you right now. Bottom line is he got robbed because he was getting close to breaking Rocky Marciano's record, and he was a black guy.
That fight was going to be number 49.
Michael Spinks outboxed him the first time. You can't really deny that.
Nine out of ten times, you and I both know they would have given the championship. If Larry Holmes was white and their son, they would have given him the championship.
He did get a gift against some Carver too. You know what I mean? So, you know, how many gifts is Larry Holmes going to get?
At the end of the day, you beat the champion. And, again, I've seen that fight. I think, you know, he outboxed him. Not enough to win a championship, I don't think. I mean,
I've never had the theory that I've got to beat the champ half the step. 99-98 is the same thing as 99-62. I won. I mean, why do I have to win going away? I mean, I've never been with that theory that I've got to beat the shit out of the champ to win the title. If I beat him, boxing is I hit you more, you hit me, I should win. Spinks, it was a hell of a night.
I'm going to have to watch that fight again. I can't remember Spinks beating Holmes that soundly, though.
What beat Larry Holmes was he made that stupid mistake of saying Rocky Marciano couldn't carry my jockstrap.
That's what
buried his ass. Because he beat Spinks the second time. He didn't beat Spinks the first time.
He got outboxed in that first
fight. He beat Spinks. I mean, that's your opinion, Francisco, but I saw the fight and he beat Spinks.
That's an opinion of many.
I think in a lot of ways we think that a lot of people thought that Larry lost the first fight because of the statement, but Larry lost the first fight because Michael Spinks outboxed him. It's the same thing with Hagler against Ray Leonard. And like Harold said, Hagler went in there, boxing conventional, taking away all the advantages that he had. Ray got those early five or six rounds. It was too late. And, you know, it's 99-95, but, you know, you can't – if you even hit a three-pointer, you're still 1 point away and they get the ball back. I think that was the big key. We may get caught off here, Dave. Dr. Kelly's World Day Blog Talk, Radio Social Media Network, mic on, lights off. Gentlemen, continue until they depart us. Go ahead, gang. Keep talking.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
We were talking about that, the four things over there.
I got to make a statement for Saturday, okay, real quick. But I would make two bets that
Floyd Mayweather's going to get dropped in the fight. And the other thing, the Baker judge be fair, I think the other guy's going to beat Floyd Mayweather. I'm going to leave it like that. That's my thing.
The referee is Tony Weeks.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Hey, Howard, what'd you say, Howard?
Howard, I got a question for you.
Hey, Howard.
Yeah.
Is Howard
still with us?
Yeah, I'm
still
there.
Howard. Yeah. I got a question. Adrian Broner. He says you can't mention boxing and not mention Adrian Broner in this generation. Is this true?
Adrian who?
Freddy Molina.
Broner. Oh my God, these guys are something else, man.
He's been a joke this day.
I'm fighting a guy who can't punch and who got beat up by Amir Khan. Easy fight. I'm off the look up.
That's my whole thing about that fight. Floyd Mayweather's taking this fight very lightly. Believe me, he's taking it very lightly. And I'm gonna say this: there's two things that I have learned in life is that when somebody dies in your family that you really love, and the fight's so close, and you gotta go through with it, all those underdogs always come through. And those have babies. And
you're right.
And they did. And those underdogs always come through. So y'all mess around you want to, but the man upstairs gonna call this shot, and that's gonna be what I got to say.
I don't think
a guy who's not handled by Devon Alexander is gonna beat Floyd Mayweather. You know what I mean? So
he also got beat
by Khan.
I'm a betting man, so I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. But I'm a betting man.
My Donna to beat Mayweather or just a knockdown?
I think Madonna is going to drop Mayweather, going to knock him down. And the other thing, the reason why
I got Floyd going to full 12 and winning, but I said if there's a knockout, it's going to be Madonna between five and eight.
I'll say that if Madonna wins, we'll finally get
knockout.
Pacquiao Mayweather. If Madonna wins, we'll finally get Mayweather Pacquiao.
Yeah, well, Madonna already said it. When I beat Mayweather, I want to go after Pacquiao.
Like I said, I gotta have two bets on the line. I'm betting that Mayweather gets knocked down, and I'm betting that he loses. That's what I'm betting.
Hey, the one and only double bow, Harold Weston Jr.
I think Harold's gonna come out of retirement for number 50. I think Harold's gonna come out of retirement and fight Mayweather for number 50.
Yeah. Harold, quit playing, man. Come on back. I got you back.
Hey, the way it's going, I can come back. I mean, because I don't see nothing out there, really.
Harold, how old are you now, Harold?
Hey, fellas, and I got one eye, so I know I'm good to go.
Hey, Harold, you know what?
Troy is definitely fight you now. You got one eye? Troy is definitely fight you.
No, Harold, you should fight Elijah Day. He has one eye.
I want the best of these. I want the best of these Humpty Dumpty guys today. That's what I want.
Well, listen, you know, it won't take much to win a title nowadays. We got to think
that's
about
the
it.
Other crazy part. Yeah, right. That's the other crazy part.
You know what? Another thing that kills me about a lot of these guys, you go on Facebook, right, and I see some of these fighters who are like 2-0. They talk about their strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah.
And now they need
Mike, how about the guys who are 2-0 that have co-managers?
Oh, yeah, co-managers.
And then the co-managers, when they're splitting up $300 and it's even a co-manager, he's this and that, and it's like, bro, come on.
And best overall, Danny, the thing that cracks me up is, how about when they post on Facebook, I just got done running 4 miles. I just got done boxing 12 pounds.
Yeah.
Isn't that your job?
A week.
It's like, dude, we don't want to know about, I don't want to know. Show me. Don't talk. Don't post it. Don't this and that. You know, if you think a girl's going to send you a message or something, great. But
unbelievable,
that's
guys.
All, to me, that's all hogwash. I want to see a guy do it in the ring. I want to see what he's got.
Back to a humble beginning. I'm sick of hearing these guys talk, man.
It doesn't. You're right when you said it doesn't take much to become a lightweight champ. Did you see this title fight Saturday?
Oh my God!
With these two kids,
how did they become champs?
For a
title at your 15th fight, guys. Let's be real.
Yeah,
it's they used to fight for the world title. Back in the day, if you didn't have 30 or 40 fights, nobody even knew your name.
I thought this was a Golden Glove final, man. I mean, these guys, I don't know what the hell they were doing.
Well, it's just like I said with the guy that had the 14-1 record with no trainer.
Sure enough.
Oh, my God. I was so happy to be up with his ass.
And let's look at this. And he had two titles.
He had two titles, yeah.
Hey, guys, can I ask you one question? Did you guys hear about this Manny Pacquiao? And I don't know if it's just hype.
And they expected him to be Hopkins. What a joke.
this guy, Manny Pacquiao, is supposed to be fighting Canelo Alvarez, they were talking about.
Yeah, there's rumors.
No, that's not going to happen. Canelo already had the fight with Arizona Lara. That's not going to happen.
That's pay-per-view, you know.
Yeah.
Lara and Canelo's pay-per-view.
You know, Lara's a pretty good fighter.
Lara's a good-looking fighter, Mike. That kid's a good little boxer there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might give Canelo problems.
Yeah, but that's pay-per-view. Remember that.
Oh, wow, but Canelo.
Well, If there's a catch weight, Canelo's going to get beat up. We know that right now.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the Pacquiao. That was that. But Lara's going to. I'm going with Lara all the way. I think Lara.
Lara beat
the hell out of Trout. Something that Canelo had trouble doing.
Yes.
Trout's a good fighter.
I mean, styles make fights. I don't think that tells you. I just think the Lara style gives Canelo trouble. Trout's a different type of fighter, but I think that Lara has the antidote maybe to give Canelo a lot of different stylistically, a lot of problems.
But let me ask you a question. Can he take a punch? Look what Angulo did to him twice.
Sure.
I mean,
that's there too.
The guy left him for dead, you know, twice.
I think that's a big question too. No question about it.
I didn't think he was going to get up the second time. But Angulo had not got hurt in the left eye, I think it would have hurt him some more.
You know what, Dusty, you are right about that, but the thing is, everybody's been, you know, even Ali, they all have been on the canvas by certain people, you know what I mean? We got to give, but I tell you that one thing.
Let's not forget, Angulo was, for a while there, he was one of the most feared guys. He can hurt people, too.
But he was hurting everybody, and then Kirkland destroyed him. But then he did that year in deportation prison, and that must have destroyed him.
If you look at the type of fighter he is, he reminds me a lot of like a Margarito. Guys like that.
Exactly.
They usually have short careers. They absorb a lot of punishment because their only style is they spar a lot of rounds to get in shape. They take punches the whole time. They fight the same way, and they absorb a lot of punishment over a short period of time.
Absolutely. Yeah. But getting back to Canelo and Pacquiao, if that happens, Pacquiao's finished. I got Canelo between the first and second round. This guy's not going to... I mean, he's not the same anymore. He's washed out since Margarito.
Nobody gets that. You know what? The thing, Dusty, people think I'm crazy when I say that to them. People, what are you talking about? He beat him. He took more punches in that
he took,
fight.
Exactly.
That
he took a beating. He took a beating. He's not the same anymore. He had to go to the hospital. Ribs were crushed. I mean, not broken, but I mean, injured. His spleen, he was pissing blood for a month. His face was all busted up, and yet he killed Margarito. Who got killed? that's a funny thing. But Pacquiao's not the same. He caught an overtrain. In fact, I'm not going to talk about it. He caught an overtrain who left his fight in the gym, Timothy Bradley. Because by the fifth round, Bradley was so muscle-bound and so tired, he didn't know what the hell to do. If you saw the fight, Pacquiao hit him with 10 unanswered punches, my count, and Bradley could not do anything more. He was throwing from the winds, wheelie with that right hand, and he couldn't touch Pacquiao. I mean, you know, then he came up with
Bradley
a bad
pass. Bradley
looks
like your classic guy who overtrains, because you always see him like that, and he looks a little muscle-bound, too.
Muscle-bound. He was tired. He was wasted. Then, did you guys read the funny story about Pacquiao's mother did some voodoo on him?
Yeah,
did some voodoo. And, you know, my daughter made me laugh. He says, look, I'm going to fight Pacquiao, and I'm going to beat him. I don't care if Pacquiao's mother does voodoo on me. I'm still going to kick his ass. That was so funny, man. But, But the fact remains that, we can't be doing, you know. But anyway, that's the whole garbage.
Yeah, I don't know. I like this. I'm excited about this Lara and Canelo fight, to be honest with you. I like this fight.
Which one?
The Lara, Alessandro Lara. And,
and Canelo. Yeah, I think Lara could outshuffle him. I think Lara could, but like I said, I'm wondering whether his jaw will take a Canelo shot.
You know, I give this Canelo kid a lot of credit. He doesn't run from the tough fights.
Right.
That's a guy who can give him a lot of trouble. And I give Canelo a lot of credit. You know, you guys were talking about how the fighters back in the day, I mean, you brought up the example that I was actually thinking of, Sugar Ray moving up and fighting Joey Maximo at heavyweight.
Yeah.
A fight that I believe, what do you, he had heat exhaustion in the last round?
Yeah.
Otherwise, he had that fight
like
one.
2 rounds left or something like that.
Ruby Goldstein fainted too. Yeah.
You're talking about guys who came from a different generation. That was the greatest generation. Those were guys who feared nothing. They just fought. They didn't. How much am I getting paid? I don't care who I'm fighting. Let's do it. I don't care how much he weighs. I don't want to catch weight. I don't care where the fight's at. Who's in this? Come on, man. That's what boxing's about.
Yeah, he wanted to break a record and be the first middleweight, I guess, or to win the light heavyweight or some crap like that. But he did it in the wrong weather. If he had fought him in the winter, he would have beaten Joey Maxim because he was slapping the hell out of him.
You got to realize, with all these weight classes today, okay, a guy like Sugar Ray, you look back at his weights when he first started, I think he weighed 137, 142 for some of his fights. So he conceivably could have probably started it in today's day and age. I mean, with the way they do stuff, he could have probably started it lightweight. And went to 140, 147, 154, 160, 168, and 175.
Yeah, he could have taken all those weights, yeah.
You're talking about a guy who would have done things that are just out of control today. People wouldn't even be able to
fathom. Let me say that. He couldn't do that. You know why? Because the guys could fight back then. And in those different weight classes, you had some guys that was terrorists.
You're probably right, Harold. I mean, these guys were no slouches in those weight classes.
So you're saying Sugar Ray didn't do that?
This is not like Mickey Mouse stuff we're dealing with now today. Those guys were fighting, okay? Now, we're talking about killing. We're talking about the United States government was going to ban boxing in 1960 because there were so many murders in the ring. That's how bad it was.
So, these guys
are you saying that Sugar Ray Robinson couldn't have won a title at those weights?
No. It wouldn't have been no guarantee.
No, it would have been a tussle. It would have been a hard tussle. You're dealing with the Jimmy Carters, and you're dealing with Tony DeMarco. You're dealing with those guys who are monsters. Jimmy McLaren, Tony Canzoneri. You're dealing with those animals, man.
Tony Canzoneri, I believe, was before Sugar Ray, gentlemen.
But I mean, in that realm.
I got you.
But in that realm, and then Wallace Bud Smith come out of Connecticut, that was a monster, man. And, you know, those guys would have given him a hard tussle. Ike Williams, you know, all those guys were a bunch of fighters,
I believe they called them the Murderers Row, who everybody avoided, and those guys were all tough as well. A lot of them didn't get title shots.
Exactly. So it would have been tough, but, I mean, who knows? I mean, Sugar Ray was top of the game, you know, and he knew what the heck he had to do.
Right. He was the money maker, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That was the situation, but the fact was, Sugar could be beaten, too. I mean, Jake Lamont said, I could beat Sugar Ray Robinson, and he did beat Sugar Ray Robinson.
Exactly.
Okay? He beat Sugar Ray, but Sugar Ray weighed 144 pounds, and LaMotta was about 163. He was like a super middleweight.
My point exactly. That's why you say he can put in all those weights. No, because there was guys that was just as tough and punched just as hard as LaMotta. I mean, and Jake LaMotta. I mean, that's what I'm saying to you. So
exactly.
Don't think that he can just ran right on through. We talking about guys. I'm talking about the guys in the first 30 or 40 fighters. Boom. Ray would not ran through those guys. Believe me. He dunked a lot of fighters, a lot of fighters in his year. Even at welterweight, he dunked a lot of fighters. Let me explain to you. He dunked a lot of black fighters that can really fight that he never fought for the title.
Charlie Fusari, 57, was it 57? There was a whole bunch of dudes there that were bad dudes. A whole lot
Ray didn't want
to
fight.
But you guys also need to be aware, too, that there were so many good fighters, too. And he also fought more world champions than anybody, too. You got to give the guy some credit.
Oh, yeah. Sugar Ray Carson was another guy. Gabby Lam was another guy.
Hey, Dusty.
Yeah.
I think a friend of yours is on the... Are you up?
Are you in?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Sorry, thank you. This
is Yenar? I guess not. Is Doc still there?
Hello. Hello.
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Harold, you
still there? Is Harold Weston still on the line or no?
Hey, Dusty, you still in?
Yes, what happened?
Who's that, Dusty?
Yeah, what happened?
No, I'm trying to see who's in. My son was on. He came on. I don't know.
Oh,
if
how's he doing,
yet.
Man? How's my future champ doing, man?
Artie, you unmuted or what? You got to have him. I guess they didn't let him in.
Oh, okay.
He hears us.
I hope he's practicing his left hooks, man. That's the meat, man. That's
now,
a meat
man.
Punch. Those
he's
left
in
hooks.
Love now, dude. He's in love now, man. He got a girlfriend.
Oh, come on.
Hey, he's going up to St. John's now. He's going up to
God bless him. Good. I'm glad.
I think he's going to start a boxing team up there.
Okay.
So... you guys, everybody getting together for the fight or what? You guys going to watch this on Saturday?
Mike.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm here. Is Harold Weston still on or no?
I think he's gone.
He's gone?
Are we still on the air right now?
I don't know if we are.
I wonder if it's a... Hey, Dusty, is Louis Collazo end up coming out tonight? Hello?
Mike.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Who's this speaking now? Is this Harold Weston or no? Mike.
Okay, gang.
You guys there? I'm in. This is Dan. This is Mike's friend, Dan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Dan. Okay, you still with us. Said we lost the rest of the crew there. Yeah, yeah. Well,
who's this I'm speaking to now? Is this Doc?
This is Doc, baby. This is Doc.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where we lost some of the guys.
Is
there
a line still on the line?
Well, you know what? I think they got cut off, and they inadvertently have to call back. So that's what probably happened. As they're looking to them. Well, anyway, we've got a good little time left. Did you enjoy some of the conversation?
Yeah, are we on the air now?
Yeah, yeah, we're on it, baby. I'm talking to you. We're on.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on.
Yeah, I think you guys are, you know, you guys are obviously very knowledgeable. It's good to be able to talk. Here's a big problem I see in boxing. It's guys like us that have the idea and see what it's going to take to get boxing back. Get it back to what it should be and get it to the next level.
Well, you know, I tell you, boxing is not, and some of the things that Ken Norton once told me something that's quite profound, and I think we've got to understand. Al Weston talked one time about how they were seriously considering banning boxing, and the guy who saved boxing was Ali. And then
right.
If you look at the surrounding factors that came into it, was that you the game, and Kenny Norton always told me, Ali, and also Cosell and other people, I mean, it was a great era. Ali, there was Joe, there's Foreman, there was Norton, but there was a horde of other outstanding guys, too, Ron Lyle.
Oh, there were so many guys. Ron Lyle, I don't know if you remember
Jimmy
him.
Ellis.
Yep, Jimmy Ellis.
But also the residue of that area, too, was the small weight guys. I mean, an interest that Ali brought to the game, you also said, well, you know what, I like boxing, you know, I like ice cream. Okay, let me try some strawberry. Duran, Ray
right.
Leonard, Tommy Hearns, Aaron Pryor, and then you kind of notice the guys who were starting to ebb, Laguna, Carlos Ortiz, Emil Griffith. So, and that
right.
era... That era is not coming back again because of the reason, the biggest reason, and the size of the promoters. So fundamentally, Harold Weston, the only African-American matchmaker in history, Madison Square Garden, and the late, great John Condon, greatest PR man in the history of boxing. And they both, I remember waiting outside the office one day, and John was coming from, listen, Jim, and he said, man, I can't believe it. There's a guy over there throwing a jab straight up in the air. And Harold came about 37 minutes later, and Harold said, I can't believe it. There's a guy down there. They both complained about trainers who could not teach these guys who had talent. And I think that's the biggest problem in this game today, that there are guys who are fighting who are taught wrong. And so they're not going to get better.
I'm going to do a backflip because you just put your – I don't know if Mike told you, but I'm a trainer. I have a gym here in Connecticut.
Okay, yeah, right. We might talk to something about you, yeah.
Right, and you know, my uncle was a trainer. My uncle had a gym down here in Waterbury for a number of years, almost 40 years. He had a few fighters. One of them fought Sugar Ray Leonard. Another one was New England champion. He was 13-1 and then took the drugs and ended up stopped fighting. But so the game's been in my family for years. It's been in my bloodline. The problem is, back then, you had gyms, and every city had 3 or 4 or 5, 6 gyms. Today,
there you go.
Today, you'd be lucky to find one, and a lot of cities and towns where a lot of kids could be fighting aren't.
You hit it on the head again. You're right. I mean, you look at New York City, Sunnyside Garden, Eastern Park Arena. Those are just two of the places. St. Nick's, Ridgewood Grove. That's just forced gone. Gone. There's
right.
no place to. There's five has the gym. Guys, the elite trainers, the guys who know this sport. I told Mike today. Overall,
well,
if you and huh?
The problem is they're becoming extinct.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And not only are they coming extinct, but Vernon Hopkins. One of the things that's allowed him, and he's a skilled fighter. And he stays great in shape. One of the things that's allowed him to continue to box is that he's got Nassim Richardson, who is a disciple of his trainer for
Bowie Fisher.
Yeah, Bowie. And so, and I remember Nassim when we were talking the other day. He said, "You know, I've got Vernon in the fight, and the other guy's getting tired." And he said, but I can't tell Bernard to press the issue because now Bernard's 47 years old. Back in the day, I could have said, okay, yeah, step it up. And I've always said, from a training standpoint of view, you could, after a while, I know what I got to do. I got to do 5 miles. I got to do all the sit-ups. I got to do all the push-ups. But where you come in is when I come to the corner and say, Doc, you know what? He's getting tired. Start going to the body. Okay, Doc, you know what? Come with the right hand over the left. Hey, Doc.
So there's
boxing.
So many things. Doc, did you fight yourself? I'm sorry. Did you fight yourself?
No. I've been covering the game.
So if you know, if you're a fighter, there's things, and I don't care who you are, whether you're Floyd Mayweather or you're Roy Jones, there's things in there that the other fighter might be doing one little thing that you're not even noticing. He might
that's
be bringing
about.
His hand back
exactly.
and moving
exactly.
you know, to one side.
That's where you come
and,
in. That's where you come
and
in.
That's where I come in to tell him, listen, man, if you can close your eyes and throw the right hand and you're going to hit him right now.
You and only that, you see what I mean? You, as a trainer, you're not going to let me go in there ill-equipped. You know, you say, look, Doc, you got to give me 4 miles a day, baby, else you're not going to fight. You know, I'm not letting you go in there with a six shooter with 4 bullets.
Sure. And you want to train the right way. Some guys overtrain. Some guys train like crazy, and then they don't train properly. Some guys spar too much. Some guys don't spar enough. Some guys spar with
wow.
Some guys, I've seen guys getting ready to fight a southpaw, and they're sparring with an orthodox fighter for 6 weeks before the fight. I'm like, what are you doing, man? You know,
tremendous. You know,
it's
wow.
Just, the stuff that you see
wow.
out there is just crazy. And the problem is it's not like football where a coach – you know, he was a coach he was a college coach. He worked his way up. You know, maybe he became a coordinator. Then he became a head coach. Then he became a coordinator. In the, it's not like that. You could open a gym tomorrow and call yourself a professional trainer, and it opens up. Here's the thing. That's what makes the game great, but that's what makes – because anybody could become great off the street, but it also opens the door for so many phonies.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It
wow.
opens the door for so many people who have no knowledge on the sport, and they get these kids hurt. I see it every year at the Golden Gloves. Kids with broken nose, kids with some natural talent, some natural ability, but they just get the heck beat. Don't have anybody showing
yeah.
them something
yeah, well, exactly.
that can bring them to that.
And
that
the point
level
you bring is throwing the money, because I remember my dear friend Julius Erving talking about the first time him and Darryl Dawkins practiced together, and he took Darryl to the side, and he showed him a little something. And Darryl said, that here's a guy who is in the pros. Here's a guy who's a high pick. And Darryl said, hey, you know, this is the first time anybody has shown me anything. And, no,
right.
I mean, and
in boxing, so much like that.
Mm-hmm.
You get a tough kid, a fast kid who's been in the gym, and maybe mm-hmm. he just learned, and he just on his own started boxing. But he's making a mistake, and, you know, maybe he's tough, so when he gets hit with a shot against another kid, who maybe isn't a big puncher or something, it doesn't affect him. He could go through 50 fights. But when he goes pro and he gets exposed, in boxing we call that getting exposed.
They eat him up. They eat him up. They
right.
eat him up.
Right.
It's like a guy with a hitch in his swing, and you can do that in the phony league. You can do that in the minors. But Dr. You know,
exactly.
Greg Maddux is going to see it. You can't do that against Kofax. You can't do that against Marisha. You can't do that against Gibson
right.
Ford. You know what I mean? And Spahn. And you're right. But the point you made, too, is I can't see it. I mean, it's like proofreading your own copy. But you don't see where you put an E where L should be. But you do see it. And I said, to a certain degree, I think this guy proved that last week in the fight against Hopkins. You can train your own self. You know what you have to do. But you need that other general. You need that statistician. You need that guy. Like you say, hey, Doc, man, look.
If Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard needed a trainer, that guy needed a damn trainer. And he was so cocky. He thought he could beat one of the greatest fighters of all time. And he just, that guy got what he had coming. I was so glad to see him. Not just because I've been a Bernard fan since I was a kid, but also because you got to realize, too, Bernard, he's a special cat. I mean, that guy, he built his craft. I mean, I see Jersey Joe Walca in him. I see Ezra Charles in him. I see fighters from the past that have been forgotten about almost coming alive through him. It's something, it's unbelievable. It's like they've been resurrected.
Well, he is, I've said this, he's a student. He's an old pro. He has been an elite champion, and he has
handsome lead accomplishment. By no stretch of the imagination is Bernard Hopkins an elite fighter. There's no great middleweight that Bernard Hopkins would have beat. I mean, his resume is not his fault, but there's not an elite fighter on his resume that he beat. He beat the old
Roy Jones.
Yeah, but Roy was done. When Roy could fight, Roy beat him with one hand. Beat him with one hand. And Oscar,
he beat him
was older than, huh?
He beat him twice.
And Oscar, who beat him twice? Hopkins?
Yes.
No, he only beat Roy once. He lost his first fight to Roy.
He lost the first
fight. He lost, but he fought good. And the thing is, too, is he beat Felix Trinidad was a killer coming up in weight. But, I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, the other great middleweights, no. But if you look at, you know, he probably wouldn't have beaten Hagler. He wouldn't have beaten, Carlos Monzon.
No, he would not.
I tell you who would have beat him. Would have ran through him like a hot knife and through butter. Aaron Barker would have beat Hopkins to death. Would have beat Bernard Hopkins. Aaron Barkley would have beat Bernard Hopkins to death.
I don't know about that.
Well, that's the difference. You do, you don't. I do. Hopkins would have beat the shit out of him. I mean, if you may call it Bernard Hopkins. I mean, Aaron Barkley is the only guy to beat Tommy Hearns twice, knocked out Tommy and decided him.
Yeah, but that's
just
totally different. But it's about
the
style.
Well, that's true. And you're talking about styles.
So you think Duran is better at middleweight than Bernard was? No way. I mean, I think
Duran also at middleweight. The two greatest fights of his career was the fight against Pavlik, who, as we found out, was an alcoholic, and the fight against Trinidad. And the Trinidad fight was more circumstances than it was what Hopkins accomplished. But, I mean, my thing is, he still went 12 rounds with Tito Trinidad. You know, it's the thing that Marvin bitched and moaned about the fight with Ray. But, Marvin, I mean, the fight went 12 rounds. It shouldn't have went 12 rounds. If you're the best fight in the world pound for pound, this boy ain't fought in 4 years, and he's smaller than you, and it went 15 rounds? There's something wrong there, Marvin. There's something wrong. And then the same thing with Bernard. You look at Bernard's resume, and who of elite stature has Bernard Hopkins beat? If you say Trinidad, okay. But the reality of Trinidad, you know, and Felix is probably the only Puerto Rican that can fill the garden up. But Felix, by no stretch of the imagination, on a scale of 1 to 10, was a 10. Don King did a great job of promoting him, and it would have been very interesting to see how that fight turned out had 9/11 not turned up. I mean, Trinidad leaves after the 9/11.
Trinidad knocked out almost everybody who fought on the way there.
Beating Juan Joppy was no criteria for, the Boxing Hall of Fame is a perpetrator of fraud anyway, but beating Juan Joppy is no criteria for immortality.
Bernard beat a lot of Hall of Fame fighters. I mean,
he beat smaller and older Oscar De La Hoya, and a good big man never loses to a good little man, but, I mean, there's nothing exciting about Bernard.
Okay, well, I mean, you can say the thing about Hagler, though. He beat Hearns. Okay, Hearns was
the thing with Tommy, see, I think Hagler, and I think, Fox 10 Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, on Trust and Government Network, Mike on Lights Off, and got a few minutes, but I think both guys are vastly overrated. No question about Bernard, but, I mean, Marvin, I think anybody that fought Marvin Hagler, if you stood up to Marvin had to fight. If you folded, like Marion Boykin says, Marion B. Boykin, black quotation, if you folded, then you went like a cheap suit or a cheap card table. But look at the fight that he had with Vito Antifermo. Tough fight. Mustafa Hamsho.
Sure.
Tough fight. Duran, if that was a 12-round fight, Duran would have beat him.
Championship fights are supposed to be tough.
No, but I'm just talking about when he fought tough fighters, tough. I mean, whatever guy
Give me a middleweight who flattened everybody like a Tyson per se was doing. I can't think of a middleweight who dominated like that. I mean, that's a rough division.
Well, we go back. Ray dominated. Manzone, I think Manzone.
Carlo Basilio.
Yeah, but we're talking about a done Ray Robinson. We're talking Ray Robinson on a downhill slide.
on the downhill side. I mean, you know, Ray was on the downhill side after that. Ray was really never the same fight after he signed the first time at 132-2. I mean, I don't know how Ray thought he could live off endorsements as a black guy in America, but I mean, he wasn't the same guy. And we look at the...
Right, but that was Ray at welterweight. Ray at middleweight, that was later.
But no, I mean, no, Ray, remember, no, because he beat Turpin. Remember, he had the two fights with Turpin, beat him, and then he had to come back and beat Turpin, and that's where he retired. He retired after beating Turpin the second time.
Before that, I can't remember who he was.
Muscle, you still at 200 muscles? Anybody still there joining us? Good.
What's that?
No, I thought Muscle still was. But go on, George, this is great. Have a good time, baby.
No,
go
I'm saying I can't remember any of the big names in middleweight that he had beaten then. I know he was the champion. But, okay, so say you take Sugar Ray and you say he's the greatest
middleweight? Yeah, okay.
Say you do. Even if you don't believe that, let's say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Hagler, we've got Monzone, we've got Bernard.
No, you can't. All of them. Let me tell you, Tommy Hearns would have starched Bernard, would have starched him. Ray Leonard
agreed.
Beats him at middleweight. Ray Leonard agreed. Beats him at middleweight. And here's the guy you don't talk about. Emil Griffin beats him at middleweight. Beats him at middleweight.
No, I don't think
so. Are you crazy? Emil Griffin beats him at middleweight. Okay, I'm going to name you. Ray Robinson beats him. LaMotta beats him. Marcel Sedan beats him. Tommy beats him.
Hagler.
Ray beats him. Duran
beats him.
Duran, they beat him.
Emil Griffin, I mean, you're talking about Emil Griffin got knocked out by Reuben Carter.
Hold on, you know what? There's another guy that beats him. My goodness.
Emil Griffin had 20-some losses at middleweight. I mean, he was a great welterweight.
But understand, Carter knocked out Emil Griffin looking past him. But Carter, another side. I mean, Bernard has that dog
looking past him. Now we got, we got an asterisk on that fight.
I don't say looking past them validates it. It's an excuse. You don't look past anybody. But the point is, there are too many guys who could have beat Bernard Hopkins, and Bernard Hopkins' resume doesn't show one great fight at that. And this is the amazing thing about Ali. Yeah, you do Ali in trilogies, 1, 2, and 3, and Muscle can agree, as Marion Boykin says, the great Marion Boykin, Black Bodacious, the greatest boxer. You do Ali in trilogies. The first Ali, nobody beats him. Godzilla, King Kong. But the second Ali comes back, who's somewhat beatable, Ali beats some of the greatest heavyweights of his era past his prime. Beat Joe 2 out of 3 times.
Okay,
Ali,
yes.
The first time.
All right. Ali is in class of his own. I agree with that.
But what I'm saying is,
not just
show
because
me,
of boxing,
show,
but
show,
because he was outside. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, but on Bernard's resume, show me the best I ever saw Bernard. Well, he's displayed a tremendous, and I said, maybe it's a change. When he fought Kelly Pavlik down in AC, beat him to the punch, fought in the middle of the ring, fought off the ropes. But I mean, when's the last time you've seen Bernard do that? I mean,
Bernard did that to Trinidad. He did it to De La Hoya, and then he knocked him out. I mean, come on, he did it.
De La Hoya is, especially in today's market, where we weigh in the day before. So for all intents and purposes, you got Bernard Hopkins, come on in, Muscles, a middleweight, probably a super middleweight fighting a welterweight. And he's
Bernard
a small
also
man.
Beat guys like Winky Wright, who was on a tear before that. I mean, he beat a bunch of guys.
Who is Winky Wright in the pantheon of great fighters? Who is Winky? I mean, that's a boring fight. There's two guys who's going to snore the loudest. Boring fight. I mean,
we're not talking about who's boring. We're talking about who's good. Right?
When you talk about elite fighters,
after Emil Griffith killed Benny Perret, I don't think he had a knockout after that.
I'm
just being, you know.
Well, I don't know how to say it, but Emil Griffith is one of the, we got 90 seconds left. God bless Stanley, support that blog, that radio, social government network. It's Mike on Lights Off. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back here next week with the crew. And if we get cut off, hey, glad you joined us. I mean, Emil Griffith was one of the great middleweights and welterweights of all time. And no question, he beats Hopkins. There's no question that Hopkins loses to Emil Griffith. He loses to LaMotta.
He loses to Tommy Hearn would have killed him. Tommy Hearn would still be doing prison time. I mean, Tommy should have lost to nobody. Tommy should have lost to nobody.
Tommy Hearns, I agree, was phenomenal. But,
and the thing with Tommy, if you look at it, I can cut you over, when he fought Ray Emanuel, well, thank God, and all great wonderful things coming from God, was a friend of mine, he told Tommy, you know, you can't change your diet, Tommy. You have to eat a certain amount of food, a certain type of food for those last four. Tommy started listening to people, ran out of gas, still almost beat Ray. And then Tommy breaks his hand in his first round against Marvin, and Emanuel wants to stop the fight. And he tells Emanuel, "Kill you do," but I mean that too
true. In your I see your point, but when I look at these fights, I always try to say whose style gave a certain guy a type of trouble. When I look at a guy like Emil Griffith, the middleweight, if I'm not mistaken, I think he lost to Nino Benvenuti. If he did not, am I right?